This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Martin Tyler of Sky Sports. I've been known to ramble about football, so I can only recommend the Football Ramble to you all.
And away we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Oh, it's good to have you with us. I'm Marcus, and here's Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Yes.
Luke.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Last week on Ramble Extra.
You sounded like Duffman then, which I enjoyed greatly.
Yeah? Duffman does not breathe.
No. Carry on.
I should point out that we don't have the rights to Duffman. So, sue us.
Being a real product and all. Last week on Ramble Extra, we mentioned that Ronaldo said that now he's retired, he wants to become an agent, represent some of Brazil's younger players. So, gentlemen, if you were a pro footballer, which player, past or present, would you like to represent you?
I like to think, because you know your agent, if you're a footballer particularly, it's almost like just like another dad, really, just someone who sort of looks after you very much in life.
Yeah, that's right.
So I would go for Mr. Royston Keane. Wouldn't want to hear from him very much, but like he'd get you 50 grand a week off the dole. Do you know what I mean? His negotiating skills are going to be amazing. So
yeah, I'd
go for him. Like I say, wouldn't want to hear from him much because he's terrifying. But you know, if you asked him to go and get something for you, his own sense of manliness would mean he'd have to go out and achieve that.
I wouldn't like Keane because I think that if he was my agent.
Got to be ruthless.
But when I saw the phone ring and it was him, I was thinking, I'm in trouble. What have I done? I've been racking my brains as to what I've done.
To be fair, if you had Roy Keane as your agent, you'd get what you want.
Exactly, yeah.
You would be on like 90 grand a week at Colchester United.
And you'd be motivated. You'd succeed. Yeah. I want to be a winner. I don't know what you guys want from
you'd
your fictional careers.
You'd do a Seth Johnson, dude. You'd be getting paid loads for that.
I'd go for Pep Guardiola because, ooh, God damn it, he knows how to dress for a meeting.
That's true.
His little waistcoats and stuff, his little preppy jumpers. Or possibly Gordon Strachan, because he's furious in a similar way for Roy Keane as well.
Simmering, isn't it, with Strachan?
Yeah, exactly. He's bubbling under. So, like, if I don't get the terms that I want, if my boy doesn't get his, I don't know, relegation release clause or something.
Yeah.
Which will be relevant with you, Pete.
Exactly. Yeah, it ain't going to be promotion ain't going to be top goal scorer.
But that clause would come in every year, I think.
It doesn't matter why he wants a pint of biltong and a ton of milkshake every week.
With me, it would be like with me, my agent would be going, what happens to the promotion? You know, and the club would be going, wait, you're representing Luke Moore. I won't worry about that just yet.
Yeah. Luke, who are you going for?
Well, I've got a few in mind. Romario would big me up, obviously.
Yeah. Mm.
But the reason Romario would be better than Roy Keane is because while Roy Keane would do a job and do a deal and get it done and be ruthless, Romario would just lie.
Yeah, he'd fudge your numbers.
Yeah, until you just got signed. Right, you can't go back on that now. Signed that.
I mean, if you were offered 50 grand a week, he'd be like, put a zero on the end of that.
He's on 20 million at his current
cost. Do you not think
every 10 minutes?
But do you not think you'd come out of the meeting with nothing and he'd come out with a deal for
himself?
True,
yeah.
It's true, actually.
He would.
I'd be getting 5% and he'd be getting 95%.
Yeah.
Right. And you'd be doing his admin.
Yeah, I would be, yeah. And rightly so, he's Romario.
This is what he wants you to think.
I just want to be near him. Spend some time with him.
This is why you need an agent. You get your agent to get you near him and spending time with him.
Yeah, that's it.
But I'm going to go for Romario.
Romario. David O'Leary, because I quite like it when someone calls me a baby.
That is a terrifying insight into the sexual peccadilloes.
No one's touching my baby.
Don't call me baby.
Graham Souness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Souness would be. Souness walked into a room and he's a man you want to do business with.
He'd plant a flag in the middle of the meeting.
With your face, on it.
Be great. Have that.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah, I've met Souness as well. Lovely fella. Mm. And he's won me the points.
Oh, God. That shouldn't be allowed.
No.
You know what should be allowed, Jim? Because he took Souness from my notes.
Really?
That's why I should be allowed.
That's not true, you big liar. And let's move on.
That's the Romario influence on you there.
If I enter the competition at the beginning,
you're hosting the competition.
Yeah.
If Simon Cowell won X Factor, people would go, "Hang on, that's what's happening."
No, but you got that wrong, because if Cowell, then everyone said at the end, "Right, well, it was your turn to sing," and he sung and he was better than them all. Then he would be entitled to win.
You are
a bit
Cowell-esque.
That's irrelevant in this point.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Just the way my trousers hang. I've won the points. And England won the points against Wales.
They did. Three magnificent points. Easy points.
We have to start with the national anthems. Lots of booing.
Yeah. Joe Hart seemed to find it particularly hilarious.
Didn't he?
Did Joe Hart know where he was? What was he just cracking up
laughing? I think Joe Hart was expecting both of the ones to be the same.
Yeah,
I thought we had the same one.
It's ironic booing, right?
Yeah, if I was the defender playing and Joe Hart was next to me, and he was laughing, what is he doing?
I thought it was funny. I think fair enough.
Get your head
Joe Hart to me strikes me as a guy who's
seems
not really
more
phased.
Human.
Yeah, exactly. He's not really phased by such things.
Can you remember when a good friend of the Ramble, Murray, who's from Shrewsbury?
Yes.
Where I think Joe Hart's from.
Yes, he is.
And he said, "Oh, Joe," we were debating about the height of Joe Hart. And Murray said, "Oh, he's 6'3" or something." And I was like, "Okay, right, fair enough." And then Murray, for some reason, just went, "I can tell you the height of any man from Shrewsbury."
Yeah.
And then it turned out Joe Hart was 6'5". He got it wrong.
Oh, did he get it wrong?
And he didn't venture anyone else from Shrewsbury into the height of either.
One of your friends got something wrong.
Yes.
Is that the tenor of your argument?
Wrestle it back if you want. Otherwise, go with it. Your decision.
Yeah. So that was...
But Joe Hart is an excellent keeper, and it's fine.
Yeah, kept a clean sheet. Didn't he say it was one of the easiest games of his career?
Well, yeah, I mean,
boastful.
Disrespectful.
Standing on that pitch is a hazard for me.
It
was
little.
Awful.
You hated the pitch.
It was from kick one to kick 100 million, however many it was. I didn't count them, but it was an awful pitch.
It was a 4-3-3, wasn't it?
Awful pitch. I'm surprised Wilshere looks so good. I'm surprised Lampard looks so good. I'm surprised our midfield was able to cope with it, because that is not any sort of pitch at all.
It's what caused the penalty, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. It was a trip
and down he went. England's 4-3-3.
Gary Neville was in favour.
He was. Do you know what, actually? I thought Neville and Hoddle spoke a lot
of
sense.
Neville was a decent pundit.
Giggs didn't really say much, did he?
Wow.
But I thought they were right. And as Hoddle or Neville said, you've got to have three in there in the midfield. You know, we've done this, two in the middle for a long time. Often we get triangles passed around us.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I know it's Wales. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But still, it was nice to have a balanced midfield.
But whether you agree with it or not, with Gary Neville, it's an opinion.
Yeah.
And that's a start.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Are you suggesting punditry is about opinions?
Yeah, absolutely.
My goodness.
You sort of look at how Spain, to be fair, in their match against the Czech Republic, they looked a little bit congested in the middle, weird.
England.
They looked to make a gesture, I think having the three in the middle was a real step forward, and I'd like to see that again against Ghana. I think he's probably going to make a couple of changes, but I'd really like to see it again. Wilshere had a lot of room.
He did, yeah.
And he looked like what a magnificent player.
Yeah. So
one match.
And Ashley Young had a lot of space as well. He was really good.
But Wilshere never seems to be out of his depth. Every time a new challenge comes along, he steps up and he seems to be at home there, which is a great sign.
Mm. When are they going to drop James Collins from the Welsh? Because that's a few times he's done that.
Well, he's still trying to get off the pitch.
I'm going to drown soon.
I read a stat today, which is he's been directly responsible for Wales conceding a goal in every single one of their qualifiers so far.
But it's not a witch hunt. But if it but if it was,
he'd be burned at the stake by now.
Yeah.
But
he's not getting away quickly.
He's got so much competition in the Villa side, but he's got nothing because Wales don't have that sort of depth. Mm. He just gets away with doing it every single week. He's lost the captaincy, fair enough. But I mean, I don't know. Well, he should be playing another match for me.
Absolutely. I mean, Craig Bellamy was actually quite complimentary of Gary Speed in the Welsh setup at the moment, and he said, I think the build-up to the England game that week, he said it was one of the best weeks he'd been involved in the Welsh team, and he real hope for the future there. And he just said it was much more professional.
He said Speed was a really good pro as a player, and he's a really good pro as a manager. And I think lots of people say, I mean, I'm not an international footballer myself.
Not anymore.
No, but lots of people say that preparation is the absolute key, and you get a limited amount of time with the squad together, and you've really got to make every second count.
Well, Bellamy said that previously he'd come from these, you know, professional clubs. He's been at a lot of good clubs, Craig Bellamy, let's not forget. And he said that it'd go away with Wales and it would just seem amateurish.
He was very critical.
That's really... Well, Coleman, you can't have that. You're never going to succeed at that.
Absolutely right. But Coleman also said... Chris Coleman said... And I don't agree with everything Chris Coleman says, obviously. He talks a lot of rubbish a lot of the time.
He didn't do a good job commentating, really.
No, but one of the things he did say, which I valued, was that... He said, if Wales want to be taken seriously and want to build something, they can't qualify for this Euros.
No.
But if they want to build something and try and qualify for World Cup 2014, they need a nucleus of a squad.
Yep.
And people need to stop pulling out of squads.
Yeah.
They need to be there for every friendly, if they're fit. They need to be there for every qualifier. And they need to build something. You build things gradually. You don't just pick players from all
but
over the
place. I quite like how they're giving Ramsey the captain's armband.
Ramsey was excellent.
He's very, very young. Did you see that brilliant, that VT? I mean, it wasn't brilliant. It was awful at the start. I think it was on Sky, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Where they did, like, the $1 million man sort of thing.
$6 million
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, we can rebuild him.
Yeah.
It was rubbish.
No, seriously, we can rebuild him. He's only broken his leg.
Yeah. it'll just heal naturally.
It's quite easy.
Wales actually played well the second half, you've got to say.
They had a few, like, rasping efforts.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that slightly frustrated me about England was that they never went and got the third. And 2-0, as we all know, is a very dangerous scoreline. What if that, you know, Ramsey had a shot?
Well,
the other day, that could catch the top corner. 2-1, suddenly. I mean...
It would have been a great opportunity for England to go out and get a 4-5-0 victory and really boost the morale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see, like in previous qualifying campaigns, you see Spain just dicking on teams. And you look at the results and you think, wow. You know, in England...
But Spain haven't been making it count.
I mean, recently that's fair, but you know, in the past, in previous qualifying campaigs, you were seeing that happen, and England could have done that. It seems like half an hour in, sort of just took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, right?
Ramsey was trying a bit too hard. I think. I think he sort of got the captain's arm, but and, you know, it's not a criticism really. I mean, if someone's trying too much, it's very hard to criticise him. But he was trying to almost do it all a little bit.
Well, yeah, a bit, but I think it was out of the necessity of something had to happen, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think of Darren Bent up front? Nice to have someone who's trying to get on the end of a pass.
You just always trust Bent to put those chances away, don't you?
Yeah.
I think he's a very, very good player. And, you know, as an international team, you need four strikers that are going to play and are going to make a difference, I think.
Yeah.
You've got so many different scenarios you've got to come up against. And you trust Bent in those situations to get them. There's another one he could have had where I thought, I think it was Ashley Young could have cut it back to him. And I'm sure he would have scored it as well. But
a few nice moments, Wilshere was breaking forward and trying to slip Bent in.
Yeah, I think Bent's failing at international level is he's not so good at sort of link-up play, where he doesn't really need to be.
I think the biggest criticism you can level at Darren Bent is he's a one-dimensional striker.
Yeah.
But that is a great dimension to have. He scores loads of goals.
He scores goals.
And going back on what Pete was saying, actually, the things you referenced there where Jack Wilshere tried to slip him in a couple of times, that was probably down to the pitch that he didn't get on the end of them because he is rapid, Bent, as well.
It's good to see that Wilshere is... translating the style he plays at Arsenal into the international setup
as
well.
He steps up every time. But that's that formation with the three in the middle would have suited him.
Yes.
He gets a lot of the ball and he can lend it and get it back. I'm not putting him in the same bracket as Xavi, but he's Xavi-esque in the way he plays. He can drive forward, he can get the ball away, get it back again. You know, he can lend it out. It's great to see.
He wants to play in the European Championship, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But that's apparently if he plays every single match.
Well, you're on the 21s, you mean?
Yeah. We all want to play there in the European Championship. He wants to play them, and apparently, if he plays every single match for Arsenal or something, it's going to be like 53 matches before that tournament even starts for 18, 19.
Xavi plays that a week.
I was about to say a month actually. Indeed, one thing I've thought about England, and again, I don't want to look into these things too much, but just the way that they started the game, the way even celebrating the goals, it just seemed perhaps a little bit more togetherness in the team.
For me, though, when I watch them score that goal and Rooney going on the top of it, there's just something inside me that sort of goes, we've got an unlikable squad. There's a lot of players in there that I just put man to man, I just wouldn't get on with.
Darren Bent, I like.
Somebody like, I don't know, like Cole, like
Terry,
Terry,
Rooney.
Like Rooney, and just these players, I just think, we're unlikable.
You can tell how sort of dislikable a lot of the individuals are by the fact that I watched the game with my mother this weekend, and she's like, I don't like him. And I was thinking, in an ideal world, my mum doesn't even like football. She shouldn't even know what they're doing.
Yeah.
She shouldn't even know to dislike
the previous England teams. We've had a reasonably likable squad, I think.
Well, I think that the difference now is, though, that it's this kind of unique little corner of celebrity football. It's bigger than it's ever been. The players are not going to escape that spotlight just because they are so massively famous. I think it's just a product of the way football's gone that these players get so much attention, be it negative or positive.
I can sum it up by saying I don't think any of these current players will have their own chat show or appear on Strictly Come Dancing in the future.
No, well, you never know. Who knows?
They don't need the money.
I thought, Scott Parker had a good game.
He did.
He
was my man of the match, actually, Scott Parker.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because whilst Ashley Young had a very, very big influence in the game and was a voted man of the match, I actually think Parker, right till he came off, was top draw.
He offers support really well once he's got the ball and distributed it.
But Young's game, the way, I know he influenced the game brilliantly, but he's the way he plays, he does drift in and out. But Parker was always in there. Parker should have a lot more caps than he's
absolutely.
Yeah, well, he should have gone to the World Cup, of course. But what's nice
too
about
much McDonald's as a youth. Back.
Arguably.
As a youth.
What's nice about Parker, and we've said it about Wilshere, is he plays well week in, week out for his club. He's come up to England and he's just slotted in.
Yeah.
You know, and the trouble is he's
almost got a kind of 1930s haircut.
Exactly. That's a great haircut.
Himself look like properly sort of classic England player.
He's kind of gone for it today a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. What, a Parker?
Is that more than Parker?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Subconsciously.
More of a visual feature.
Yeah. And you got to remember, this isn't like that far away from his dad dying and stuff. And
it's
a great pity that he didn't manage to see him do that, but I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Elsewhere in the group, Bulgaria drew nothing with Switzerland.
You know, Bulgaria have got a player called Spaz Delev.
Have they? And what do you make of him?
Oh, I enjoy his name.
Yeah. That is insight. That is the ground of insight. Yeah.
But England topped the group, of course.
Yeah, that's a great result for England.
Oh, it is, yes. Yeah. It's absolutely what they needed. I think what I was looking at earlier was that England still need to play Montenegro, who obviously got 10 points as well. But the great thing about that is, from England's point of view, that Montenegro is our last game.
Yeah.
So it could well be sorted by then.
Dead rubber.
It could be a dead rubber. Here's hoping, Jim, because they drew of us at Wembley, and we've got to go away. Not a trip we'd relish.
Not enjoyable.
There's no relish. Serbia beat Northern Ireland 2-1.
It went ahead.
Yeah.
Through a nice header.
It was really weird, that game, wasn't it? Because it was behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So there were about 200 Northern Irish fans.
It's a very eerie thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw an Italian game once. May have been
when
there's
a goal and there's just nothing.
But you can hear
it wasn't like that, though. It was strange because was it Zoran Tosic scored the opener, which was an absolute belter. And you just heard
not the opener. Northern Ireland scored the first goal.
Yeah,
of course. No, but when Tosic scored for Serbia, you could just hear loads of Irish people go.
There was still
noise. It Northern was just Ireland sad people. Noise.
Yeah. Hey, would you look at that?
But I remember my first Copa America, which would have been 95.
Who were you playing for?
Yes.
No, but most of the games were played behind closed doors. I used to get it off my mate used to record it on VHS bring it round and. Oh, brilliant.
Well, that was closed doors as well, was it?
That was closed. Yeah, a lot of those matches, it was just due to crazy crowd trouble. A lot of it was played
in South America.
Yeah.
Serbia really pulled that one back, though, didn't they? They really dug in. You just got the impression from what I saw of the game that they had to win, and they stepped up and did it, and Northern Ireland just had no answer to them.
Tosic's
goal, they did really well. They looked like they were going to. Kyle Lafferty blazed one over the bar, and he could easily put them 2-0 up.
Sounded like him to let you down. Tosic's goal was crazy. It was like he had the ball, and then after a while, he sort of looked up and went, "Oh," just shoved it in the top corner.
Stuffed it in that top corner. Elsewhere in their group, Italy beat Slovenia 1-0 away. Motta scoring the goal there. Motta originally from Brazil.
Yeah, he's got Italian grandparents on both sides, though.
Yeah,
but originally from Brazil.
Yeah. Well, no, but the reason why I say that is because in Italy of late, there's been people very critical of Italy's policy of recruiting foreign players.
Oh, I saw that. And Prandelli was saying, "Well, what do you want me to do? There's no young players."
call up Balotelli, maybe.
Well,
they hate him because he's black. They can't bloody win.
That's true.
Absolutely can't.
Well, I think was the Italian FA. Not going to start a team in Serie B just to put young Italian players in or something.
Were they?
They were a bit concerned that the lack of talent coming through.
Be a bit annoyed if you're playing Serie C.
Yeah.
They're going straight in B, are they? We should ask me.
Well, Prandelli's not an idiot. You know, they came behind New Zealand in their World Cup group. Yeah. So he's got to do something.
Yeah. Well, they're top of the group quite handsomely as well.
Yeah, but it's not an
easy. Well, they will be, won't they? They're a chiselled race.
Very good. You mentioned Balotelli left out of the Italian squad, of course, along with Daniel De Rossi.
Yeah, and the reason for this as well, it's just, it's been their discipline on the pitch, isn't it? It's been reported as if they've like broken a curfew or done something wrong, but it's actually because they've both been sent off in sort of dubious circumstances.
Because off
recently.
The pitch they've been immaculate.
Well, even so, it's a strange policy.
Well, listen, if you can afford to leave De Rossi out, you must have some squad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he is a great player.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
And the other thing about it, by the way, is when with Prandelli calling up these players and naturalising these players, but don't forget it was done before Prandelli's time with
Amari.
No, not Amari, currently. What's his name? The Argentinian.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Oh, Camoranesi.
Camoranesi, of course. But Amari's no great shakes.
No.
I mean,
he you'd have Balotelli in over him, even if he's been mental.
I certainly would. Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. I certainly would, yeah.
Balotelli has been mental, though. He recently threw a dart at a Manchester City youth team player.
Do you know what Prandelli said about that?
He said it was Eric Bristow-esque.
He said, next time you're bored, Mario, just give me a ring.
Super.
Are you talking about the restaurant?
I was going to go into that. Yeah. Well, quite a posh restaurant, I believe, in Manchester. Wayne Rooney's
alleged sticking that in there.
Strap yourself in. Here we go.
One of his alleged female friends, shall we say, Balotelli saw her and was chanting Rooney.
Great stuff.
And not only that, though, blowing raspberries, which I think is brilliant.
Oh, that's glorious.
Rooney. But the guy he was with was quoted as sort of saying, "Oh, I squared up to Balotelli and stuff." And then you sort of think, right, this guy's a property developer. What relationship to hit to this woman?
Who is clearly
a prostitute. Do you really want to be quoted in the newspaper in a restaurant with a broth, so to speak?
It's like you remember, like a couple of weeks ago when I'm not going to name the player just in case, but a player who allegedly text messaged a picture of his appendage to the same woman who sold her story about Rooney to the paper.
Oh, Bobby Robson.
No.
Sir Bob.
But I was just thinking, you don't help yourself, do you?
No.
Look what she's done. Yeah. It wasn't even that long ago.
Think about it for half a second.
Yeah. Oh, John Joe Shelby. He's been at it as well.
Has he?
Tweeted a picture of his penis.
Tweeted?
Tweeted? Yeah. Yeah.
How did you miss that? You're always on Twitter. I saw it.
Oh my
word.
I'm busy tweeting pictures on my own.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it was just a cutaway shot of his penis. His face wasn't in it as well, you know.
Yeah, but still. Presumably it was from his account.
Yeah, exactly. There's no.
He may have left himself logged in.
Are you implying that you're mates with him and you went round there and tweeted a picture of your own appendage?
Neither.
Because you seem to be doing that.
Neither.
What about your appendix?
That would be altogether more difficult.
Yeah.
more graphic. That's the plural.
Now. Balotelli, of course, has been a bit silly, but he's perhaps suggested the solution to all his problems. Yeah, he said one word from Ronaldo is worth more than 1,000 of all the others.
What others?
Of all the other Ronaldos.
of all the other darts.
But I love it, though. He said, in any case, I already behave myself fairly well.
Basically, he's just justifying the fact he doesn't listen to anyone.
I don't think
Ronaldo... I'll only listen to Ronaldo.
I don't think Ronaldo's the answer.
No. Do you not?
No.
But Ronaldo was reasonably intelligent.
Marcus, Ronaldo is not the only person on earth that can straighten out Mario
Ronaldo
Balotelli.
Never misbehaved himself, did he, James?
I can't think of any particular embarrassing incidents.
Well, all that leads us on neatly to Group B.
It doesn't.
Group B for Balotelli, there's your link.
Thank you very much. I shouldn't have to explain such strong links. Ireland beat Macedonia 2-1.
Yes.
Robbie Keane with the winner, spilled by the goalkeeper. Yeah.
Well, he supported Ireland since he was a boy.
It's always been a dream of his to play for
them.
It's
incredible he's turned out for them now.
Yeah. But to be fair to Robbie Keane, he did say, if a good player comes along to take my place, I'll retire from international football, but no one's doing it yet.
Mm. That's a bit harsh.
Why is he
on
saying
himself?
That? He scored the winner.
Yeah.
You know,
no, he didn't say that after he scored.
That was
a few weeks ago.
As he's celebrating. Yeah. But if you don't fancy it. Yeah.
Very tight, that group.
Very
isn't
tight
it?
Indeed. Mm. Only a few points separating the top four. Because Russia dropped points, of course, away to Armenia, were they? Or at home to Armenia.
I saw a lot of the highlights for these games on YouTube, obviously, because it's, you know, some of them, it's the easiest way to get them, and a lot of them
flew to all the grounds.
I was about to say, James. Committed, very, very committed. And there's a website.
Use those air miles.
Which I really love, which is clearly some sort of foreign website, which is called todayfoot.com.
Tomorrow hand.
Tomorrow ankle.
Okay, I got a bit carried away. I was thinking goalkeeper. We mentioned Spain earlier. They beat the Czech Republic 2-1. David Villa became Spain's all-time record scorer.
What a goal as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely majestic finish. A proper sort of like FIFA Pro Evo style little shimmy.
They went a goal down as well.
They did, yeah.
Great goal.
A good goal from them as well. Yeah, he sneaked it in past Castillo.
46 goals in 73 games.
Yeah. Good.
He's overtaken Raul, hasn't he? But I think he's done it in much less time.
Yeah, Raul's got. I mean, you can, I don't want to be quoted on this, but I think Raul's got at least 100 caps.
Yeah.
So he's done it very, very much quicker. Mm. But what I was going to say about Spain was they had so many chances in that game.
Mm. Villa had a few. He had one with a beautiful sort of volley on the turn. Just straight at Czech it was. Oh,
Czech was decent. Yeah. But Spain had got. Based on that game, we're in a danger of going down the road that Barcelona are going down. They only just shaded that win 2-1.
Yeah, yeah. I think, again, though, a lot of their players will be exhausted from the amount of football they've played. But Villa seemed to really, really be relishing the role of main man again. Like, he was just all over the place.
Torres ran it. I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Imagine if Fernando Torres never scores a goal ever again.
Well, they've got enough, though, Spain.
Yeah.
No, he's a good player, Villa. Maybe he'll sign for one of the top four.
Yeah.
Who knows? Did you see that crazy Milan Baroš thing?
What was that one?
In that game where he accidentally controlled the ball.
Which is very accidental for him.
Couldn't find it. I think he span around in a circle looking for it, like without actually looking down, if I remember rightly. Then looked down, it was at his feet, and he just sort of whipped it away just before someone came in to challenge him. It was like a really good bit of skill, kind of by accident.
But what it's like is like when you go up for a header, and you both sort of pops up in the air, and everyone's looking around for it, but it was on the ground.
Yeah.
That's the first place you look. Yeah. Gravity being what it is.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Was he wearing the number 5?
No, he doesn't wear that for Czech. He doesn't have a check.
Annoys me that does. It does. How's he looking? He's always quite a handsome guy, wasn't he?
Not been a fan myself.
No. Okay.
Handsome check.
Yeah. We'll move on.
So you're doing a handsome check on a check.
Yeah. Clever.
Peter Check's in the team. Oh,
his work.
I met Peter Check's wife, incidentally.
Did you?
Yeah, lovely lady.
I bought Peter Check's autobiography in Czech. Beat that.
Why?
Why did you buy it in Prague?
Again,
in why? Yeah. You don't have to buy things.
I saw it and it was like, oh, this would be interesting. I can't read it.
Did you realise it was in Czech?
Yeah, of course I did.
Is this the guarantee?
I don't judge a book by its cover, even if it is in Czech and it's about Peter Czech.
Maybe,
thanks.
Maybe you should.
Does this go under another one of Pete's drunken purchases?
No, it was possibly still.
Was it stag doing Prague, was it?
It was actually.
It's a lovely city, absolutely decimated by us.
Seriously, Jim. Possibly wicked.
People like you ruin the city break.
We do, yeah. And what of it?
Don't be proud.
Yeah.
You barbarian. Germany 4, Kazakhstan 0.
Mm.
Germany.
Özil ran the show in that one, didn't he?
Played 5, won 5, scored 17, conceded 1.
That's how you do it.
They'll be disappointed with that.
Closer and Müller with braces.
I was going to say that Miroslav Klose looks a prospect.
Does he?
Yeah, he's got a bright future ahead of him, that boy.
They just do it.
He bloody does it for Germany.
I don't live in Germany, so I can't tell you this definitively, but in my mind there's no mucking around.
No,
it's not even
anywhere.
It's not even any newspaper coverage of the qualification. Yeah. Just get it done. We'll get interested when the tournament starts.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you get to the semi final, we'll tune in.
You know if there's a goal is get it in some nets.
Sorry, what's that? Who's gonna be Germany captain? We don't care. Get it done. Get it sorted. Come back to us when you've won it.
Pick the best man for the job. Yeah. Good. Now then.
Yeah. Put the best man for the job with a variety of different measures. Yeah. Which mean they unequivocally get the best person and just do it.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Let's copy them a bit more.
Yeah, let's definitely copy them.
There was a friendly match. Well, there was a few friendly matches, but the one we're going to talk a little bit about is Scotland versus Brazil. 2-0 Brazil. Neymar with 2 goals. Lovely first one. Lovely Finn.
What a player. I mean, I was saying to you on the
What a haircut.
42 goals he scored last season. At the age of 18. He's only 19 now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of a Bowie-esque from Labyrinth sort of hair.
He has, yeah.
It's almost getting into sort of like a mullet sort of taxi driver.
It's two haircuts really, isn't it? A little mullet on the top, a little Mohican. Yeah. Little break in between.
Business on front, party at the back.
Indeed.
But I'm not comparing him to Diego Maradona. His histrionics are very much like Maradona's. Where he's mercurially brilliant, but he throws himself around and he gets annoyed.
You are comparing him to Maradona.
Oi, sue me.
I walked. I was walking down Holloway Road because we're just round the corner from Holloway Road. I just finished playing football
this
myself.
Is in North London.
And yeah, the mixture of Brazilian sort of drums and bagpipes was brilliant. It was a proper carnival atmosphere.
Was it infectious?
It was. I tell you, it's the best I've seen the Emirates. Like on the outside,
big? That's a big.
It's irrefutable.
Usually, the road that leads sort of down from the Emirates, there's just this road where you're not allowed to park, but rich people just have their chauffeurs park up and just sit in the car for 2 or 3 hours at a time. Yeah.
You just hear the crowd come along, just going, cacophony.
Sorry.
Oh, pardon me.
Just nice to see some drunks at midday. Yeah. It really was.
Yeah, you didn't feel so left out.
But I mean, Brazil had an awful lot of chances, especially from set pieces which is not something you sort of normally attribute to them.
It's interesting. Something I found funny about that game, you got players sort of like Lucas that play in the Premier League that, you know, we're all aware of. Sandro came on, stuff like that as well. And I think maybe a little bit of the mystique of Brazil was gone because of that, because we are familiar with these players, and it makes them seem more sort of human and maybe even beatable at one point.
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah. Menezes has got a very tough job on his hands with Brazil because, you know, they have to put in a very good performance every time, but also they have got, you know, lots of eyes on the 2014 World Cup, and he's got to turn them into a world-beaten side very quickly.
Yeah, there's no anything other than a win is an abject failure.
Yeah. I mean,
not only that, you've got a winning style as well.
Yeah. You've got a winning
tough
style.
Tough titties, they're Brazil. Yeah. Tough titties.
But he's got a tough job because he took over a team from Dunga. They're obviously one or two players who are quite old, and they were very counter-attacking, very sort of industrial.
Dunga wasn't that popular, though.
No, Dunga wasn't popular.
You say he took over a team, he can pick his own men, Marcus. It's fine. He can make his own.
But he's got to try and, I mean, Tim Vickery said he's got to try and wean them off this, with just a counter-attacking side.
Yeah.
So actually, play a bit of football and take the game to them. But you look at that Brazil side now, who are the big players, you know, in 2014? Okay, they produce a lot, and we hope that in, you know, they've got a few years to do so, and their track record suggests they
will. Neymar could be an absolute phenomenon by then.
Oh yeah.
Well,
you look at the trend for sort of the top players now, they are a lot younger. You look at Messi and Ronaldo and Rooney a couple
peaking
of years ago
younger,
when he was at that point as well. And like, Neymar will be, well, how old is he now? 19? So
there's a massive talk for Neymar to go last summer.
He
was in the initial squad and he got cut, and he wasn't even on the standby list after that. But people were crying out for him to go, you know, and he didn't go, unfortunately.
It could be exceptional.
I would imagine there was paper talk today that he's talking to some European clubs now. That's part of the reason he's here. So he may go. But I'm sure Chelsea were going to take a chance on him a while back, and they didn't.
Well, Chelsea have just signed, I forget his name, the 17-year-old Brazilian lad.
For next season, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know much about him. Odd. You know, they said, oh, well, we're not allowed to sign him at the age of 17 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we'll just
wait.
Sign him anyway.
Well, they have signed him.
But
surely that's...
It's like another loan deal, isn't it? It's like it's
a pre-contract agreement, right?
Yeah. The highlight of me, there was two highlights for me actually on the YouTube sort of highlights that you sort of grab after if you haven't caught the main highlights. There's a lovely bit of Brazilian commentary where there's a suspicion of a handball late on in the game, and the Brazilian commentator goes, "Oh, Mr. Howard Webb!" And the second thing that was good, I saw a man walking down Holloway Road in a kilt and a Scotland shirt with a friend and a bottle of Iron Brew, which there's nothing better.
Nothing.
It's like being anywhere in Scotland at any time.
Like you've been transported down there.
It really
in the middle
is
of something
wonderful.
I was told, I think Scotland is the only country in the Western world where
Coca-Cola isn't the top selling soft drink.
It's Iron Brew.
It's that weird ginger bubblegum drink. Yeah.
Made of girdles.
It's like the little toffee things you used to get, the Iron Brew sort of.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Really sharp.
They do Highland toffee ones of those as well, like tartan packets.
Yeah.
Send them in.
So
you know the email address.
If you're listening, Highland toffee, I fancy losing some teeth. Send them down.
We've got to talk about another Brazilian man, Roger Ceni, the man on the telly.
Rogério.
Sorry. It was for the purposes of an ill-conceived joke.
I
respect that, Mark.
As if, look at his t-shirt. Pete's even got a Roger Melli t-shirt on.
I have, yes.
Ironically.
It was free.
You wouldn't pay it for it. he got his 100th goal.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Lovely little hit
as well,
wasn't
it? Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, if you're thinking, so what? He's a goalkeeper.
Yeah. It was a great free kick, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But notoriously, they are brilliant free kicks when he scores goals, aren't they? It's
the best thing was, he scored his 100th goal. And just fireworks came out of the corners.
Wonderful celebration.
And it was just like, this is in the middle of a match. Yeah. An important football
match. If they'd been 5-0 down and he'd scored a free kick, but they have still done
he wouldn't have taken the free kick.
When that happened, I like to think of Jermaine Defoe watching it, looking down at his 100th goal t-shirt, just crying.
Who was it? Was it Battistuta when he got his 100th goal in Serie A? They released like 100 balls on the pitch or something ridiculous.
That's not practical.
Multi-ball.
I can't remember.
What if he got like a hat trick? He wouldn't know which one they played with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can't take this off.
Very true. But we should say about Senny's goal. It was 100th goal in a derby, and it was the winner.
Yeah.
I mean, this is no token effort.
Yeah, they're second behind
Sao Paulo, of course,
Palmeiras.
That's right.
Against Corinthians. Yeah.
But Sao Paulo, the thing about Rogério Ceni's taking the free kicks and the penalties, which is fine, I mean, if he's good at it, great. But this is Brazil. You can't tell me they haven't got good free kick and penalty takers in their team.
Yeah.
Even if I was one of those players, I'd be annoyed. He's like 38 as well or something, isn't he? 37,
but it's become this huge thing, though, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah. Because I don't pay for Sao Paulo, I'm full for it.
You know, FIFA only recognised 98 of those goals.
That's right. He counts two in
friendlies, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
fair enough.
Give him it. Come on, FIFA.
Are you with FIFA or are you with Ceni?
Sepp Blatter should run for re-election on the ticket that he'll give Ceni those two goals, and I'll vote for him. Yeah. If I could vote,
Grant Wall should do that. That's what Grant Wall should
do. Yeah, he should. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he scored 100 in my eyes.
Yeah.
Well done. Another friendly, United States 1, Argentina 1.
Mm.
Tim Howard keeping them out. Well, obviously, not one shot got through.
He played well, Howard. They did very well. Cut to pieces at times, weren't they?
Messi, with the kind of his involvement in the first goal, the Argentina goal was superb. It was brilliant.
He went right to the byline, right close to the goal.
There was a moment.
Cheeky little nutmeg as well.
Yeah.
There was a moment early on in the game when Messi, and I think it was Di Maria, on the edge of the box, played about 3 1-2s on the edge of the box. It was immaculate football.
He
put it wide, Messi.
Yeah.
Which US footballer, I can't remember who it was, I think said possibly on Twitter today, he said playing against Messi is like having like an older brother and playing in the garden and him just being able to keep ball all the time. Yeah. You not being able to get near the ball.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that American
player? And I'm 30.
There was an American player called Chad. His name's Chad Johnson, but he changed his name to Chad Ochocinco, which is 88.5, because he's an American football player for the Cincinnati Bengals. And because the NFL is a prospect of a strike at the moment, they may not have the NFL season. It's on what they call lockdown. And he's a wide receiver. Mm. He's about 33. And because he used to play soccer when he was like 15, and he eventually chose to become an American football player, he's tried out with Kansas City.
Oh, right.
The Sporting Kansas City, they're called now, aren't they? They've changed from Kansas City Wizards.
So that's right. And he's in the middle of a trial with them at the moment.
Oh, right. Wow.
And all the cameras are there.
Surely not. He's
not that good.
No.
but Sporting Kansas City played out the trial. They did a video stream of the trial, of him actually taking the trial.
Right.
And loads of interviews with him.
Embarrassing.
And he was saying, "It's taking me a while to get back into it." But he's an amazing character. Like I say, he changed his name to Chad 85.
Right.
Because that's his number of
like Gaza.
That's his Cincinnati Bengals number. And he's got his own chat show. And he's fun of all. He's a real practical joker. I'll get a couple of videos off the internet and stick him on the site. It's amazing. I don't think he's going to get as part of the squad, obviously.
No.
But it's funny.
Because too big and too heavy, and B, he hasn't played football for ages.
He's not that big, he's just really fast.
Didn't the USA look at doing that for USA 94? Didn't they have sort of some ex kind of football player in their squad?
Wide receivers, just because of their pace. Great stuff.
Did they?
I think there was some sort of, I don't know if they actually did it, but there's some sort of story about that. And also David James as well, wasn't it? Didn't some of the American football try and.
No, it's Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
For kickers.
Marcus Thornton is going to be a quarterback. Remember that.
You mention this like every other flipping week.
It's entertainment.
Yeah. For some. Also, we mentioned Argentina. Riquelme, what a free kick.
Mm. Oh, great stuff. That was for Boca.
Yeah. But would you like to see him back in the Argentina squad?
I would, and Batista picked him for the Olympic squad, didn't he? Because Batista was Olympic coach before he became Argentina coach, and he took Riquelme.
Yeah.
So you never know, He's not getting any younger, though, is he, old Roman?
None of us are.
Well, he won't be, will he?
No. Literally can't be.
Yeah, the voice of reason there, Jim Campbell.
It was actually the voice of Jim.
Campbell. Jim Reason.
Jim Reason.
Hello, Jim Reason here.
Sheriff.
Oh, yeah. Also, the one thing that made me happy that the US equalised against Argentina, you know who would have been there loving it? Chuck Blazer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck the beard Blazer.
Dog stuck in his beard.
On our forum.
Permanently wedged
on
in
On our forum at thefootballramble.com, someone put a thread title about Chuck Blazer, and the title of the thread subject was Chuck Blazer and the World Cup Births. I thought, that's a great name for a band.
Yeah.
What a name for a band.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now then, Chuck Blazer, where does he have friends?
Everywhere, I'd imagine.
FIFA.
High places.
FIFA.
FIFA.
Yeah.
And who works for FIFA? Jack Warner.
He does.
We got there.
Wow.
He's...
Cluedo-style link.
He's been re-elected, unopposed, as the CONCACAF. CONCACAF. I got it right.
CONCACAF.
CONCACAF president for a sixth...
Peace joke, not mine.
Sixth.
Actually, it was mine.
Term.
Oh, Jim.
Sixth.
Christ.
Sixth. That's ridiculous, isn't it? How long is each term?
10 years. He said, I am honoured by the trust placed in me. I thank each and every one. You're unopposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have elected yourself.
Probably.
Well, he has, essentially.
No doubt
just
he has.
Just by running.
It's a cartel, so I wouldn't worry about
it. Not really news.
Yeah. We haven't had Jack on the show for a while. I thought I'd
it's always
slip
nice
him in
to,
there.
It's always nice to get a mention for him, isn't it?
A mensch.
And I wonder what his after party was like. I bet it was awful.
Has he had it already?
It's probably still going on.
Yeah. No, and has he sold loads of tickets for it that there's no room for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that is coming
satire.
Out of of that kind of upper tier of football camp is the Qatar World Cup.
Mm.
Have you heard that they're going to be introducing artificial clouds?
They already do that in Japan, I think.
Are you sure?
Not in the way that I saw the plans for this one, because I think they just seed clouds, don't they?
Yeah.
And they sort of drain them. Mm. I think, but basically it's all chemical. This is literally, imagine flying a virtual cloud, like an electronic thing that floats in the air.
Yeah,
this is the top. This follows the sun round. It's
yep.
I'm going to use my favourite word, grotesque.
Why are they doing that?
To block the sun out.
Yeah, to block the sun out rather than sort of stop anything. It's stupid.
Put a roof on it.
Put a donk on it.
So would you be able to sit on the clouds? Because real clouds look like you can sit on them, which obviously you can't.
No. But don't try
only
that.
Only in Rainbow Islands.
That's mental, isn't it?
Each cloud is, they reckon, is going to cost $500,000.
Yeah, it's like a big sort of hovercraft with four sort of big
fans
on the side.
How high are we talking?
Well, a good it would be like sort
between
of like a blimp. I don't even know why they don't just use a blimp.
It's going to be between the stadium and the sun. That's how
they should let people sit on it. Get some of the money back. Charge.
They don't
charge
need
people
the money.
To fly around on it.
Who's going
to
want to sit up on it?
I would.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, and it's solar powered as well, so it's all sort of... it's a silly plan. It's never going to work. Bearing in mind all the pictures that they're showing of these virtual clouds, these things don't exist. Now, I'm sorry, if I'm going to watch a sporting event, I don't want a big metal thing that sort of just like a big helicopter that could crush me at any moment.
Yeah.
Just coming down on
you
me.
You hate being crushed. I think
I do.
It could... What happened? What about the thing in Mexico, 86, was it? That thing that was above the pitch.
Oh, that was a camera, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, was it just?
They had one in 2006 as well, didn't they?
Haven't we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago when me and you had an argument?
Oh yeah.
Where I said it was a scoreboard, you said it was a camera.
And Pete
Let's
was
call
right.
the whole thing off.
And Pete was right.
Yes, I was. Right.
I think it's time for emails.
Good save.
Oh, it's email time now.
Thank you, Pete Reed, for that little...
Very good, Pete.
Very good. It's excellent. A lovely bit of work.
Well done, Pete.
You're probably the most talented Pete around at the moment.
Oh.
I'm going to disagree.
No need.
Going to disagree.
No need. Shall I do an email?
Go on then, Oswald.
You'll be pleased to know, long-term listeners, that we got an update from one Kevin Carruthers. Anyone else want to take up the story of Kevin Carruthers?
The Leeds fan who, as boss, mistakes him for a Spurs fan. And it's gone too far and he can't go back on it now.
Yeah, it's getting silly.
Take it away, Jim.
He's been to many, many games with his boss. Hey, Ramblers.
Hello.
Hey. I'm torn with anguish and delight over the Spurs draw. My boss promised me tickets for the final if it's Man United versus Spurs. I am glad this is now unlikely, as it would take the deceit to another level. But it's also the Champions League final, and I'd sell a kidney to be there.
We don't need to, because he's offered you a ticket.
Well, it depends.
Not to the
final. Depends who gets there.
Oh,
doesn't
true.
It?
Yeah.
Oh well, what will be will be. Kevin Carruthers.
He sounds resigned to just a life of general.
Yeah, so being locked into like a marriage and sort of,
a loveless marriage. Poor old Kevin Carruthers. Well, chin up, Kev.
Chin up,
Kev.
There's nothing else I can say.
We can't help him.
Okay.
I'm echoing it.
Chin up, Kev, or grow a backbone.
You know, I like to think we're supporting him by giving him an outlet to vent his pain.
I'd like to think his boss may listen to this. And so one day
I think
he's
his boss does listen, because that's not his real name.
But like, if he walks up to his boss and just on his last day goes, by the way, I'm Kevin Carruthers.
No, I like to think of every boss who listens to this show racking their brains over Spurs fans that work for Diggit. What's his credentials like? Is he a Spurs fan?
Do email us if you've got suspicions. Show at thefootballramble.com.
It's like the secret footballer for The Guardian.
Yeah.
Are you secretly Kevin Carruthers?
But nowhere near as interesting.
Who is Kevin Carruthers? There's a t-shirt. I've got an email here from Duncan Kendall.
Hi, Duncan.
Real
name.
He
doesn't say hello.
Possibly.
Oh, he doesn't even say Ramble Force Ho. But he does say, recently stumbled upon a website with some of the rarer American dog names in it.
Stumbled?
Well, who knows? Some a little bit on the strange side, such as Boo Radley, Kevlar, or QWERTY. I like Kevlar.
Kevlar, yeah.
Shooting guns at it.
QWERTY's a very geeky name for a dog, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
It's got to be a nerdy dog.
No, what would be more nerdy would be Dvorak, which is an alternative keyboard system. Thank you.
Jesus.
Then
I just felt my virginity grow back just being near you.
Then, right at the bottom, in the Zeds, where you'd expect it to be, is the following. Zlatan.
Oh, I love a dog called Zlatan.
Zlatan.
Well, presumably in the US or whatever it is, you have to sort of register your dog name, do you?
No, I just think it's sort of like suggesting. Basically, the Americans are so mollycoddled, they need other people to name their puppies. Puppy-names-hq.com.
Alright, get on there.
HQ, I don't want any other renegade outpost. I want the headquarters, please. If I'm looking for help with a dog's name, yeah, I want the headquarters.
I like to think there's like a sort of Jack Warner sort of figure trying to get, yeah, trying to elevate himself to a position he's not worthy of in puppynameshq.com.
At the moment, he's in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
The dog CONCACAF.
What's it?
I'm just doing West Indian dog names at the moment. I deserve more.
They're all called Brian Lara and stuff. Swedish soccer star is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Basically, he just sort of says, what do you think, how many Zlatans are fouling in parks all over America? Yes. Probably quite a few, I imagine.
I would hope so.
But basically, what I'm thinking is, what would you call your dog and why?
Well, after a footballer, are we...
Well, yeah, I'd go for that, yeah. Would make sense.
Kevin Keegan.
That'd be a poodle, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
I always wanted to, if I ever had a cat, which is also an animal, I would call it Dennis Bergkamp, but it would have to be both names every time. You couldn't call it Dennis, and you couldn't call it Dennis Bergkat.
If you have to call it Dennis Bergkamp every time, you'd have to call it in a Dutch.
Dennis Bergkamp! I'd shout that in its face all day. Just to confuse it.
I'd call mine Trigger.
Why?
It's nothing to do with it. After Roy Keane's dog, isn't it?
That's dangerous.
A lot of footballers are called.
You're ripping off my dog.
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine you called your dog Trigger.
Oh, do you know what I'd call a cat after the Brazilian goalkeeper? Felix.
That's good. Mm. Yeah.
I would call my scorpion Higuita. Thank you. Finish.
Oh, yes.
It's an animal. Yeah. Kind of.
Although he said dog, so it doesn't work.
A scorpion dog. All the rage in Colombia.
Get breeding, listeners.
Yeah, that could work.
Get breeding, listeners.
Yeah. Come up with a new animal and we'll call it a ramble.
Portmanteau of a scorpion dog.
Skog. Easy.
Easy peasy.
Or Dorpian.
Dorpian. Yeah. Yeah. I prefer Dorpian.
You're a Dorpian.
Some might say.
You're the Dorpiest. Right, shall we do a profile?
Let's.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Yay.
You remember that time, dear?
Yeah.
Missed it last time.
Did you?
Sorry about that.
Don't worry, it was a rubbish one. It was me.
it was actually the editorial decision to cut it out after Jim staged the coup and inducted himself.
Damn that coup.
Yeah.
Who knew I had such a good scoring record?
Not the listeners.
Didn't they? Yeah, I'll have to go around each and every one of them. Oh, let's just get on with it. It's Claudio Caniggia.
Yay!
Oh, yes.
I'm not tempting fate. Get him in.
Woo!
Second time.
Yeah.
He was born on the 9th of January 1967.
Probably started the Summer of Love.
Probably.
Same year.
Probably.
Definitely.
Yeah.
With that hair.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The man, woman that
born
he is.
With a ponytail.
Yeah.
He could run.
Could be his own girlfriend.
He could run the 100 metres in just shy of 11 seconds. That got him the nickname El Hijo del Viento. Son of the Wind.
Son of the Wind.
Is that the best nickname you've ever heard?
It's up there.
Definitely up there. Yeah. I mean... I like Junio Pernambucano's, which is King of the Little Hill.
That's good.
Or Son of the Little Hill, or something like that. But yeah, that's very good. I'd probably be Son of the Rain. Son of the breed.
Son of the artificial clouds.
Yeah.
That would be Pete, because he likes a bit of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well,
we're agreed then. Right then, Caniggia, River Plate he started. In Argentina, of course, he burst onto the scene. He's also got the nickname El Pajaro, the bird.
Nowhere near as good.
No.
Yeah. They both kind of go together.
Yeah. Well, that was because of his dribbling skills.
Well, he's aided by the wind, isn't he?
That makes sense, doesn't
it? Birds are good at dribbling.
Yeah, of course they are.
All right, sorry.
Yeah. What do you mean, of course they are?
Let me just have my point.
It wouldn't be the first time on this show, would it?
And it's not going to be the last. He was a part of that team in 1986. They won the league, the Copa Libertadores, the Copa Interamericana, and the club's only Intercontinental Cup title.
That's loads of things.
And the Champions League.
Winners. Yeah. Champions League wasn't around then.
The World
and
Cup.
It wasn't in South America.
The World Cup.
El Champions.
Yeah. The World Cup was in 86, but he wasn't there. Now, he was not just a striker. He was kind of a winger, kind of a creative support striker, I suppose.
Absolutely,
is
yeah.
the term.
He was very versatile, actually. He was almost like a second striker come winger. Yeah. Because he had a lot of pace, but he also had a lot of creativity as well.
Mm. Indeed, he did. So he played for River for a few years, and then he went. He did the rounds in Europe. Really, he started off at Verona, and then Atalanta. He played a few years.
I remember him at Roma for a little while.
He did go to Roma after, but Atalanta. He had a few years.
Atalanta was in World Cup '90. He was playing for them then.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
What was his first big moment at World Cup '90?
Getting absolutely killed and buried and dug up and buried again and cremated by Benjamin Massing in the first game.
The first game against Cameroon, Argentina. He went down the wing with the ball.
It was like a brick throwing itself at some twiglets, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It, like a fridge being thrown at a baby.
You know what they say about a big motor racing crash when the helmet comes off and you think, oh, I hope there's not a head in there. Yeah. His boot came off. Yeah. I bet someone was thinking, I hope there's not a foot in there. Because I'll tell you what, that was the force of a smited warlord.
It was. I mean, he ran down the wing. Now, Argentinian players can be a little bit divey at times. Yeah. Fair enough. So he's running down the wing. He rode the first challenge. Now, some may have gone down then. He then rides the second challenge, which was a foul. More than within his
rights. He should have gone down then.
Yeah. Well, I think Massing was a bit annoyed that he never went down. So then, doof.
Yeah.
Red card.
He's probably still feeling that now.
Yeah, I thought so.
It was common assault.
Yeah,
basically.
When they met, it was murder.
But he had a great World Cup. There's not.
But Cameroon went on to win the game, of course, 1-0.
They did win the game.
And Argentina were champions.
But Argentina went on to the final.
Absolutely.
He scored, which he described the most crucial goal in his career, against Brazil.
Yes.
Thread through by Maradona in the second round.
They were big mates, weren't they, Caniggia and Maradona?
Very much so.
Imagine that.
I think his wife, Caniggia's wife, once said, I think he loves Diego more than he loves me or something.
You said that about most men in Argentina.
But the way Maradona picks up the ball, and he skips past a couple of the Brazilians in the midfield who have pretty much just kicked and battered him the whole game. And the Brazilians, it's almost like, someone else will tackle him. Yeah. And suddenly they think, yeah, we better deal with him. And they all go over to Maradona. Caniggia peels away beautifully.
Yeah.
Maradona slots it through. Rounds the keeper and scores with his little shorts on.
If you're unfortunate in the position that you've never seen Caniggia play, he is electrifying. His hair, he runs so fast, his hair will be like shocked backwards.
Yeah. Well, he used to wear headbands
with the wind.
Sometimes.
With the wind.
Yeah.
His dad. Blowing on his face, his parents.
He missed out on the final, didn't he? The World
he
Cup.
He did. He got booked, second booking in the semi final because he was booked in the first round.
Yeah, they carried over, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's such a shame.
Marcus hates that, did he? He absolutely hates that.
I do. But he should be there, you know. He scored the equaliser against Italy in the semi final, and they went through on penalties. So he had a great tournament. That's when he became a real big star. And then, of course, as you said, he went to Roma after that. And then a short time in Benfica. So as I say, he did the rounds in Europe, really. And then he went back.
It's a European tour of awesomeness.
Yeah, totally. And then he went back to Argentina to play for Boca Juniors.
Controversial. That's a Diego link.
Yeah.
That is.
Well, he's playing alongside Diego.
I can imagine when he went there, everyone was like, oh, he's playing for River and stuff. And Diego was like, look, He's my mate. Yeah. All right, fine. It's all right. It's fine. Diego's mate.
Well, he was asked who he preferred, kind of thing. You know, what? How much of your heart is with Boca and with River? And he said half and half. River is the better school. They demand attractive football. Boca is different. Their fans keep cheering even when you're losing. A bit like Portsmouth, maybe.
Uncharacteristic diplomacy for an Argentine.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But refreshing.
Yeah. They're going to start into a big political speech there.
No.
About the politics of the 80s.
Not a time and a place.
Yeah. But before, sorry, we've jumped ahead there. Before Boca was the little matter of the 94 World Cup.
Yeah.
In which he featured.
The goal he scored against Nigeria.
Yeah. Delish. Wonderful.
Yeah. The epitome of a lovely finish.
Yeah, if you can stroke a ball into the top corner, that's how you do it.
Yeah. He was quite close to the goal. He was at a slight angle, but it was just glorious.
It was so
he had a couple of acres of space.
It was so cultured. It wasn't a shot, it was a lecture.
Yeah.
There's no defenders around him, though.
Yeah.
They just ran off. Inexplicably just ran off.
Yeah, but before he shot it, he just went, fig one.
Yeah, and the keeper didn't know whether to go, come on.
but again, though... Maybe that's just the man. Maybe he's that quick.
Ghosted in.
Yeah, like he did against Brazil. The defenders suddenly just...
Nothing I could do.
Yeah. Invisible, almost. Which would be a handy trait for a striker to have. So, yeah, of course, he joined Boca in 95 after serving a little drugs ban.
probably recreational.
Yeah, was it good drugs or bad drugs?
Nose drugs, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Played with El Diego. And that Boca Juniors team... they were often found enjoying the nightlife of Buenos Aires, shall we say, and the club at that time became known as the Cabaret.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's when you can't deny it anymore.
But the football they played was of a good standard.
Were you out last night? No, your nickname's the Cabaret.
You've not been home.
Yeah.
I've never seen a cabaret where just somebody smashed up a hotel room. You know what I mean,
no, it was a rubbish one. I don't get very many bookings.
I'm a cabaret. You're being sick into a skit.
All right. I'll sing your song. You heard this one.
You've been beat 5-0. We're the Cabaret.
Yeah. But were you entertained?
Yeah, very, very true. He missed out on the World Cup in France in '98. Because of the coach Passarella's harsh rules.
It was a hard taskmaster. He made Redondo cut his hair. Did Redondo refuse? I forget.
Redondo refused. I mean, they missed.
Redondo was a massive player.
Redondo was a fantastic player.
didn't Batistuta acquiesce to the request?
I think so.
He got his hair cut, didn't he?
But yeah, that's right. There was a long hair rule. I mean, it was crazy, Passarella. I mean, Redondo
long
super.
Hair rule. Kaneda
should have been there. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
But he... after 98 he went back to Atalanta, and then in
Atabanta.
Yeah.
That's what
I bet it was when he went there.
Yeah.
And was the joke.
And then he signed for Fundee.
That's Dundee.
Dundee, yeah.
That's never been used. Ever been used.
Until then.
The Dundee Tourist Bodge. Why don't we call it No? No. We can't sell that.
People will think it's ironic.
Which it will be.
Yeah. He sensationally signed for Dundee in the north of Scotland.
Mm.
Playing for that. They'd never seen the likes of it.
Did he know where it was when he signed?
He was brilliant for them. He got poached by Rangers, didn't he?
Yeah, he was unlike that.
And was there talk, I know this is very late on, was there talk of like him trying to get Diego involved in Rangers as well?
No.
Wasn't it that he was just going to go down and see him play?
That's right.
There was talk of Diego turning up at Dundee. I don't think he did. But if he did,
he'll probably pop up sometime soon. He's on his little world tour, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's probably been meaning to get around to it.
Been a bit quiet of late.
That just means he's planning something.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Very true. He's probably in his spaceship or something. Then he did, as you say, he signed for Rangers after that and played for a couple of seasons. Now, whilst he was at Rangers, Bielsa. Thank you. Recalled him for the Argentinian squad for the Korea and Japan World Cup in 2002.
Mm. Vindicated.
Sensational. He was about
30, did he still have long hair? I hope
35
so.
At the time or something?
He was 35. Because isn't with Caniggia, who had, shall we say, personal problems and alleged substance issues and stuff like that, he had quite a long international career. Like 15-year international career or something, you know.
Unfortunately, though, as I say, 98 World Cup. Should have been
94 there. was he at his best in 94, was it fair to say?
Well, you could even argue 90.
I loved Caniggia when I was a kid.
That was
such an exciting player to watch.
He's so fast, look.
But
I was a cockney old man as a child.
Yeah. And it served you well. At the 2002 World Cup, he didn't actually play. I think 35, 36.
Good experience around the camp, though.
He did get a red card, though, without actually playing.
Oh, good lad.
So it's you.
You can imagine saying to the manager, I just felt like I wanted to make a contribution.
I assume that that ban still stands, like Zidane's one.
Yeah. He's officially suspended from international football, yeah. Mm. That's the only way to go out.
Yeah. A little one here. At home, he called his son Axel after Axel Rose.
Nice.
Just rock star
footballer. But his appearance is quite Guns N' Roses-esque.
True. Yeah. You don't see that much in football.
No.
More goth players as well. We've said it before. People aren't
a bit of eyeliner. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
A bit of guy liner.
Indeed.
What's with you?
He now lives in Marbella, in Spain.
Of course he does. Like a retired gangster.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So go and see him. If you're round there. And there we are. Claudio Caniggia, in he comes.
Comes, sir.
To the Hall of Fame.
Breezing in.
Breezing in. There he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble today. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. And the website, thefootballramble.com, has got all sorts of things going on, hasn't it, Jim?
Stuff all over it, yeah. In the Ramble blog this week, I look back at England's enthusiasm for knocking off early against Wales. Andy Brassell calls for football itself to gain a better understanding of the doping issue, while James Appel explains how the newly underway Russian Premier League season isn't going as planned for big names like Ruud Gullit and Roberto Carlos. Chris Nee looks at the epic road trip Sporting Kansas City have facing them. Mikhail Zakodny sheds some light on bafflingly consistent floodlight failure in Poland. Sorry about
that.
That's
pun. A good one, that.
And Robbie Savage introduces you to his Wonders of Thumb Universe in a truly, truly epic video. So get over there to the Ramble blog.
Excellent. Pete, Luke, anything?
Why don't you tell us about your Pick Live exploits?
Pick Live? Yeah, I didn't
your
win.
Adventure.
Did you not?
No.
I know you didn't win because you haven't mentioned it yet. That means a listener to this show has taken your money.
Yeah.
Which we can all agree is a good thing.
A good thing.
And I hate them for
it. It's dripping off him.
It's 5 minute fantasy football, thefootballramble.picklive.com. You can win real cash.
Real cash. What about
cash.
Ramble Extra on a Friday?
Yeah, PFC. Every Friday it encapsulates Football Ramble Extra. 10 more minutes of ramble. You can't say fairer than that, can you?
Ladies and gentlemen, get over there.
And there's Glol. As well.
Glol, yeah, there's a little cartoon strip every week. And stuff.
On a Friday afternoon, it's glorious.
Have it while you're eating your breadless, for fuck's sake.
10 minutes extra ramble.
Some of the stuff we talk about on the show as well, there's videos on that.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. You're going on holiday next week as well, Pete.
I am, yeah. I'll maybe film some sort of road trippy sort of thing for PFC. On
something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to.
Definitely.
Travel log.
Well, it's goodbye from James.
Presumptuous.
It's goodbye from Pete.
Farewell.
And goodbye from Luke.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. We're all off to blow raspberries at Mario Balotelli. Ta-ta.
Mr. Howard Webb. A jogada do Lucas, ó.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.